On November 8, 1991, in the evening, there was a beautiful display of the Northern Lights in Ohio, and I missed it because Daniel was being born right at that very moment. And then a while later, I was in speaking up at Lake Ann, and got up one morning, and I was going to breakfast. And how many of you know Bill Newman? Raise your hand. Yeah. Bill was there. He's a great guy to talk to. And he goes, "You're not going to believe what happened. I went up home to make a bank deposit. I had to drive back through the night." And he said, "I had to pull the car off on the side of the road because the sky was afire with the Northern Lights." And I'm like, "Yeah, I was sleeping through that. I missed that. Missed it." In Flint, Michigan, of all places, I was in my study. I had two studies. I had an outside study where people could get to me and an inside study where no man dared to go. And I was in there in my chair and praying and reading and thinking. And out of nowhere, this is like May of 2005, May. Out of nowhere, I don't know where the thought came from. I thought of the Northern Lights and how I had put in my little book, you know, that I'd really like to see the Northern Lights sometime. And a few days later, I discovered that if I had walked over, taken the elevator to the roof right then, and walked out on the roof, I would have seen a miraculous display of the rare display of the Northern Lights in Flint, Michigan, of all places. And I missed it. I hate missing out on stuff. Are you that way? When I was a kid, I used toothpicks to keep my eyes open at night so that I wouldn't have to go to bed because I was always afraid all the fun stuff was going to happen after they put me down. And put me down, that's a euphemism for, yeah. I like Fernando Ortega, it's no secret. He has a beautiful song he's written called "Find Me a Place on the Earth, a Place on the Earth." Here's how it goes. Part of it goes like this. I wish I could sing it like he does. You'd like it a lot better. Kind of goes like this. "Find me a place on the earth where a weary man can rest and listen to your voice in the turning seasons, a quiet place on the earth where I can bow and confess that I fear where you have brought me, mysterious God." Fernando's song is, "God, I need some place where I can just quietly listen so you can explain all of this to me." Do you ever wonder if God said something and you missed it? Do you ever wonder about that? Scriptures teach us that God is always, always speaking. And that he's eager to communicate to you. If you like points, that's point number one tonight. God is eager to communicate to you. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about listening for the voice of God. God is eager to communicate with you. Take your Bibles and take a look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. This is, of course, a prophet. A prophet is a person who speaks for God. God has given a prophet a word from God. These prophecies turn into scripture, oracles of God, word from God. So God is speaking through the prophets. But what Isaiah is complaining about here is God is speaking and you aren't listening. What a tragedy that would be for God to have something to say and for you and I to miss it. Take a look at the scriptures here, just a few places. And for a deep study of this, you're on your own. Tonight I just want to show you some things from Isaiah 30 here. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit." Egypt is a type of sin in the Bible. He says to them, "You are going down to Egypt to get advice, and I'm talking to you. I'm giving you my counsel, but you don't want to hear my counsel." Woe, woe is bad. Woe is bad. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not of my spirit." In other words, you cook up your own ideas, and you go someplace else for truth. You're ignoring the voice of the Lord. In verse 9, it's rebellion is framed in this hard of hearing thing. Again, verse 9, chapter 30, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord." It's evidence of devotion to be a person who's eager to hear God speak. And God is eager to speak. You look at verse 15. It says, "Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you will be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." But you would not. I had beautiful plans for you if you'd have been quiet and if you'd have listened. But you wouldn't. You weren't listening. You were willful. You had your own ideas. You went somewhere else for counsel. Look at verses 18 through 21. There's something interesting that happens here. I'll tell you what it's going to say, and then we're going to read it. What it's going to say is this. Even though you are rebellious, and even though you don't listen, and even though you go somewhere else for counsel, I love you, and I'm still going to talk to you. And there's going to be somebody that's going to be whispering in your ear direction, even though you have willfully rejected me. This he says to Israel. God's people, Christians, you and I, are under the covenant, the new covenant of Christ, and I believe can absorb these same promises that God is eager for our good, and he will speak to us. He will whisper in our ear. He will go behind us. This is what it's going to say. Therefore, the Lord, verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anywhere, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or wherever you turn to the left hand. When you have God's people, even when you have failed, even when you have sinned, even when you have been hard-hearted, our God's character doesn't change. He still speaks. He still whispers. He still says, this is the way. Walk in it. He still gives us faithful teachers, even when we've ignored them. And we have. Now, that's interesting. That's incredible. Matter of fact, under this heading, God is eager to communicate to you, has seven subheadings. Let's move through them quickly. One, he speaks in spite of our sin and weakness. God speaks in spite of our sin and weakness. In spite of our rebellion, our indifference, our willfulness, our preoccupation with other things, God longs so much to bless us that he speaks. He teaches. We resort to others for counsel and for help, but if we would listen to God, he would tell us what we need to know. He would be gracious and merciful to us. That's amazing. Second, he speaks all the time. The issue isn't, how can I get God to speak? The issue is, how do I learn to hear his voice? Because he's continually speaking. Take your Bibles and look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 and then verse 27. John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You didn't turn, did you? I can tell when you don't turn. You're just faking. You just look down a little bit and you didn't turn. I know that. I know what you're doing. All right, I gave you time. Here we go. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're used to listening to him. The voice is pleasant to them. They're eager to hear it. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Now, look at verse 27 of the same chapter, John chapter 10, and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Evidence that you're a believer, you hear from God. You know his voice. It's interesting. So you might want to ask, how does that work? That's curious. God speaks to you? It was just like you're shaving in the morning, and he goes, today, I want you to order pizza. She's talking to an audible voice. How does that work? We'll talk about it. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. You're familiar with this psalm. It talks about God's revelation of himself, his continual revelation of himself. And Psalm 19, it has the two sections, really. You have, you have a section that talks about general revelation, and you have a section that talks about particular revelation. In other words, you have a section talking about how God reveals himself in nature and in providence and in circumstances and in the world. You have a section that talks about God's specific revelation of himself in the Word of God. And he's basically saying you don't have any reason for your life to go into shambles, which is it talks about the great transgression late in chapter 19 of Psalm 19. You don't have any excuse for your life to go into a great transgression because I was speaking to you all the time. I was warning you. I was helping you. I was telling you what to do, what not to do. He speaks all the time, continually speaking everywhere in nature, in the Word. He speaks specifically to individuals through general revelation. That's my third point. Yesterday, I was alone, had a little time. I called my mom. I said to my mom, hey, you think Dad's going to be watching the game? I'm not going to talk about the game, just a game. He's going to be watching the game. I said, I think I'll visit, and we'll watch the game together. She said, I won't tell him. That'll be a treat for him. So I drove over there, and he had a big smile on his face when I drove in, and we watched the game together. That was fun. But there were people there when we got there. My brother's Nathan's track with this, if you can. You have to draw a little family tree in your mind. My brother Nathan's in-laws. He married a girl named Jennifer. Her parents were named Gil. They were leaders in the church that I started in Ohio. Let me tell you how that happened. Okay, I will. One Sunday, day of Kyle's baptism. I have a recording of this, so I've heard it many times. I get in the pulpit, and here's what I say. It's good to have Bruce and Dawn Gil and their family with us as visitors here today. Little did I know that my brother would marry their daughter, and they would go into ministry together, have a big family. And so the Giels and I were talking yesterday about the church which is 20 years old now, and just having a good time talking about that. You know how the Giels came to us? Her brother invited them. You know how her brother came to us? He had a rogue pastor that was tearing up a church. The guy just tore up the church, a nice church in Mount Vernon. He came in and he just ran it in the ground and tore it up, got the church indebted to him, sold the building, kept the money. Bad news. Bad news. So that group came over to our church. I was standing there in the front yard looking at Jennifer, Nathan, and all their kids and the Giels. And I said, you know what? If it hadn't been for that pastor, you wouldn't even know each other. And when that happened, that was just all bad, wasn't it? Just all bad. But wait, God knows how to take things that are just all bad and do the most beautiful, amazing things. You know what we call that? That's God's providence. Say that with reverence. That's God's providence. God is at work in providence. That's just general, part of a general revelation. It's his work of providence. And then he speaks specifically to individuals through particular revelation or the Bible. That is his clearest voice. And he wants us to listen. In other words, one of the best ways to hear from God is this. Read your Bible expectantly, looking for an individual message from the Lord. Now, everybody here, listen, okay? Don't like pass notes and everything because I love you. And I was thinking about you when I wrote this message. So, like, don't pass notes and don't talk to anybody. Just hear this now. If you're a kid, you got to realize God will give you, like, specific direction. You know, you're going to go, who do I marry? And where am I going to go to school? And what kind of work am I going to do? And he's like, read your Bible. You're like, well, does it say, you know, names of colleges in my Bible? Or do I marry a girl with a Bible name? Well, maybe. You know, but that's not what we're talking about. It's when your heart is guided into the Word of God and you follow the Lord by obeying His Word that you find yourself in the place where further direction is given. God speaks most clearly when He speaks in His Word. And one of the best ways for you to hear the voice of God is just to read the Word. And I'll give you a personal tip as a pastor. Read the Bible like this. Read the Bible like a book, like you're reading through it, like you're reading a novel. You hear me? You listening? Take the Bible and just start reading through it. And when you do, what's going to happen is you're going to go, oh, I feel guilty. You ever had that happen to you? You go, I feel guilty. Or maybe you're going to go, I feel scared, I feel frightened, I'm reading through the scriptures and like I run across the passage and I feel like, that helps me. I like that. I need that. This is God taking the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you, takes the Word of God, and like He takes the Word of God and applies it like specifically and individually to you, whatever is going on in your life. And then the voice of God is speaking, He's whispering in your ear, He's talking to you. He speaks clearly that way. You can look at 2 Timothy 3, of course, and verse 16 and following. You can look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 and following verses there. Jot that down, take a look at it later. And what you would see there is specific, dynamic, powerful, amazing promises that God will give us everything we need through the Bible. Some of you are sitting there looking at me like, Pastor, I knew that. Dude, I could have stayed home and watched TV tonight. You needed me to remind you that you don't need something new and innovative. You know, you don't need, dynamic, ecclesiastical pyrotechnics. You just need a Bible. Just need a Bible. Read it. Read it a bunch. Hey, when you got saved and you were growing, you were reading your Bible, weren't you? Weren't you? When you were new in the Lord, you were just like, you couldn't get enough of it. But then you got sophisticated. You started reading about the Bible instead of reading the Bible. Isn't that what happened? Good Christian people brought you a whole bunch of books about the Bible. And so you spent all this time reading about the Bible. And then after a while, somebody's kind of off on their own opinion. And you're like, just read the Bible. He speaks. He speaks specifically to individuals through particular revelation. In other words, through the Bible. And sometimes and often God will speak to you in your spirit. Let me tell you a little bit how that works. It's not uncommon at all for Him to do this. I've heard of people say that God speaks in an audible voice. I'm not going to doubt them. It hadn't happened to me. A lot of really sound, godly people that I know of, many thousands of them, have never heard God speak in an audible voice. But they have heard God speak in their spirit, in their heart. How's that happen? Well, again, you have the Word of God in your heart. The Spirit of God activates the Word of God at a given time. And you know it's time for me to obey that part of the Bible. It's not at all. Here's the way it works. Matter of fact, the secretaries here at the church, I got to be like impossible to work with. Because I will call them and tell them what I'm going to do and then do something completely different. And they're like, what? Like the other day I called them and said, I won't be in this morning. And then about 10 minutes later I walked down. I'm like, and they were going, well, are you checking on our work? I'm like, no way, I can see your work, I don't need to do that. I just changed my mind. And I like to believe it was the Lord. I know you're thinking, couldn't the Lord have told you sooner? And you didn't have to confuse the secretaries? Possibly. But I don't think He made me like that. And then I go to work, and this is what I was going to do, and I had this inclination. And it was a good biblical inclination. It was just something that I knew would be a good thing to do. And I thought, well, that's Bible, that's true, and it's my responsibility to do that. I got a lot of responsibilities. I can do any one of them on a given day, you know. And I think, yeah, it'd be my responsibility. I said, it'd be something that would be good to do. I'm gonna go do that. I got up and I walked back out. Secretaries are like, yeah, what in the world? You know, they don't know what I'm doing. Are you in? Are you not in? They don't always know. So so I know I'm making you nervous. Like, I have a cell phone, so they can get home me anytime. So I drive down the road. The sun is shining. My heart is light. I'm like, this is a good thing. I have a new heart that God gave me. Holy Spirit lives in me. I try to make my heart a treasure of good things, fill it with good things, Word of God, keep bad things and evil things out. And then I listen to my heart. I listen to the Spirit in my heart telling me what the Word of God says on a given day. Tell me to do something good, biblical, according to my job description. I go do it. After I did it, I was walking off my car and I thought, wow, that was a great thing to do. I couldn't be happier. It's good to follow your heart. Unless your heart is black and dark and you have an old heart, you have a new heart. There's different ways of saying that. And I know what you're thinking. You probably think, that sounds dangerous to me. I just think it's a pretty lively way to live. Do you realize that, kids? You go to school tomorrow and you've been given a command. He's not willing that any should perish. So you know you're kind of well within the pale. You kind of look around at all the people that God doesn't want to perish. And maybe He'll nudge your heart to say, go over and talk to that one today. But you don't know what's going on in that one's heart. It might be God is saying to you, how many times do you think God might be speaking to you, nudging you, telling you things to do that would be a very exciting way to live, but you are like totally oblivious to that, yet you got your earbuds plugged into something else but God.
Wouldn't it be amazing kind of life if you had a, like, you know, the Cincinnati Reds, when they had a rain delay, they had a thing called the banana phone. I guess it was yellow or something. I don't know. And wouldn't it be something if you had a special phone to God? Hello? Well, it's not quite like that. But God wants us to maintain a continual sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit. And it's not just like, oh, it's Sunday, isn't it? Where's my Bible? Let's be spiritual today. You know, off to church we go, and we listen to some preaching and singing, and then we go back to business as usual. And we ignore the voice of God all week. Well, certainly that's not true. I think there are 1,000 times a week that he wants to tell you how much he loves you. I think there are 1,000 times a week that he wants to nudge you in the right direction. I think there are 1,000 times a week, or dozens or hundreds, I don't know, many times a week when God would warn you about something that would just really be trouble if you go that way. And if you had developed a sensitivity to the Lord, to the voice of the Holy Spirit that's reminding you of the Word of God in your soul, he speaks to you in your spirit. And he often speaks quietly. And why is that? Why is it that God doesn't always, like, sometimes he, you know, kind of beats us over the head and he shouts. You know, the famous quote from C.S. Lewis, he whispers in our pleasure and he shouts in our pain. Sometimes it's just like, wow, can I hear the voice? And other times, why would it be? Well, you know, just like a parent, do you want to just scream at your kid all the time? Wouldn't you rather, like, you're in a, let's say that you're with your child and you're in company and you notice something and you really can't say it. You just want to have the kind of relationship with your child that you look over at them and your eyes meet theirs and they go, I get it. You guide them with your eye, right? The relationship that the Lord wants to have with us is that we're so sensitive to his voice, we're so used to him, we so love him, that our spirit says, mm-mm, and we go, oh, I'm dead in my tracks because I don't have clearance from the Lord for that. I believe that's the way he wants us to live. I was in Kentucky, and I was going out through the Red River Gorge, and I decided to take a couple of hours and hike, and there was nobody there. It was just really wonderful. So I'm earlier in the morning, and I'm hiking, and I stop on this bridge, this stone bridge overlooking this gorgeous valley and gorge and river snaking through the valley. And I thought, where I live, I can always hear trains or car, and I love where I live. I can always hear trains or cars or people. I can always hear stuff. Here, I'm listening. And it was like a noisy silence. No trucks, no planes, no people, but a quiet kind of noise. I wonder if it would be really, really good for us if we would figure out ways. You can't always, like, go to Kentucky, you know, you can't always do that. But it'd be really good for us to take a part of our day where we just shut off the noise and we just quietly said, speak to me, God, speak to me. Oh, you got yourself all tanked up on the Bible and some good preaching and good music and all of that. But then you just sit down, and before you go diving in and you read some more, you just stop right there and say, here I am, Lord. Hey, I'm all ears, God. I love to hear. You got something to tell me today? I would just love to hear it. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And check what you hear with the Word of God, your responsibilities and so forth. We had the guys up on Wolf Lake, and I was noticing that they were distracted and they weren't taking direction very well, and so they weren't listening, and they were kind of hyper, and a couple of guys with some real problems, and so I had to keep them moving to teach them. I had to keep moving, and if you sat still, they were lost. And so I'm like going here, going there, hiking here, hiking there, and I go out, I get in a red kayak, I go, hey guys, follow me, go where I go. And then they would paddle up next to me, they go, where are we going? And then I would say, just follow me, because, I mean, frankly, I didn't know where I was going, you know. But they didn't need to know that. And so I'm just paddling a kayak over the lakes. And after a while, it was kind of like I noticed that some of the guys, they just could not stand it, that they didn't know ahead of time where they were going. They had to have specific direction ahead of time so they could get out ahead of me. I'm like, just follow me. Now, our Heavenly Father wants us to have a kind of relationship with him, that we have confidence in him, that we love him, that we trust him. And he just says, hey, we're going somewhere. And we just get in the car. We go. And that's what I think God wants. He says in Psalm 23, it says he leads us by still waters. That's where it is that he restores our soul, by still waters. So something to think about. And then sometimes you can best learn to recognize the voice of God by looking back. He spoke, you didn't do it, and then later on you think, oh, that was the Lord because I didn't do it. I heard of a pastor, he had a class reunion in Kalamazoo. And he was looking forward to going to the class reunion for one reason. He had an old friend, and he invited him to church one time. The guy rejected the Lord, and he wanted to meet this friend. And so he was eager to get to that class reunion. He called ahead to make sure that friend was going to be at the class reunion in Kalamazoo. He went to the class reunion, and the guy wasn't there. And he said, hey, where is he? And so his friend said, well, you know, he's kind of on hard times. The girl he was living with, you know, kind of threw him out, and he lost his job, and things aren't going good. He goes, oh, man. He said, well, you have any idea? He said he felt a tug on his heart to call him on the phone. So he walked around the classroom and he said, hey, you got his phone number? You got his phone number? Finally, somebody said, yeah, you know, he lost his phone. He lost his cell phone. He's really down on his luck. So then the pastor was kind of dejected. And when the thing finished up, he thought he had a tug on his heart, a strong tug on his heart to go see the guy. Just go find him. He kind of knew the general neighborhood. And he thought, well, if he goes and he starts asking around, he might be able to find the guy. But after a while, he thought, well, that's kind of off the wall. That's crazy. And he didn't do it. So he went back home. And 2 weeks later, a friend called and said that man, he took his life. And I think we've all had experiences a little bit like that, where we had a tug to go down to the neighbor, and then we walked by the neighbor's house a couple weeks later, and they had moved away. Or we had an inclination before a communion service to make something right, and then we didn't do it. And then we got hard about it. So I would just say, sometimes you can most recognize what it's like to hear the voice of God by looking at times you missed it and then going, this has happened to me a lot. I'm like, that was God. I was kind of like, oh my goodness, that was God speaking to me. That was God nudging me. That was God directing me. I didn't think it. I thought it was just coincidental, as if my theology allows for that. And I didn't act on it. And I realized looking back that was from the Lord. And so sometimes you're going to get an inclination from the Lord to do good or to witness, sometimes to say something somebody needs to hear, just a word of encouragement to somebody or help or commitment or devotion to somebody. Stop. Sometimes it's going to be to seek forgiveness or just to do some kindness. Be careful around. I had a couple incidents. Just this is how I try to live. I went over to the hospital in Wyandotte, and I walked out and there was a guy there. I was a young guy, and he was just kind of looking, kind of wandering around, and so I looked at him, and I didn't know him, and I just walked away, and then I looked back at him, and again, I wonder what's up with him, you know, and oh, that's crazy, and he's going to think I'm some kind of fruitcake if I talk to him, and he doesn't know me. You sell an Amway? I mean, what's up, you know, and so if you sell Amway, don't get mad at me. Just tithe a lot, you know. And so bad when you're the only one laughing, isn't it? Yeah. And so I just walk out to my car. I take over to the car door, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going back. And if it wasn't the Lord, at least I don't have to think about it all day. So I go walking back in looking for the guy, and over in the corner of the lobby, there's this young guy. I'm like, okay, here I go. I go walking over. I go, hi, I'm Ken. I'm a pastor. I was just calling today. Are you doing all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I go, okay. Well, I just want to say hi. He goes, okay. I go, you got a loved one here? He goes, yeah, we're having a baby. Oh, I said, no kidding. That's exciting. Talk with him for a little bit, and I walk away. And I said, Lord, that was really lame, but if you would use that, you know, I would like it. Just the fact that I'm a pastor, would that mean that's not like giving somebody the gospel, right? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you would have given him a tract and a Bible and invited him to church. You would have had him baptized by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm just me, okay? I mean, I just said hi to him. And the other day I'm driving along and I see a guy dead stick. His van's a beater of a van. It's all broken down. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to fix anything, but at least I can be sympathetic, you know? So I swing around and I go back and I walk up to the guy and I go, and I'm feeling all full of, you know, altruism and goodwill and what a great guy I am. And I'm like, can I help you? And he goes, no, man, I'm just using a cell phone. Like, oh, okay. Sorry about that. So I'm driving away going, Lord, what was that about? You know, maybe you don't know. Maybe that was of the Lord. Maybe it wasn't of the Lord. I'm willing to live like that and trust him. And a lot of interesting things happen when you do that. Hey, Woody Shoemaker is a friend of mine and pastor. We were talking about this one night. He said that he was out in California. He's from California. He said there was a girl at church one night, an attractive girl playing the piano, giving her testimony. She said one night a handsome guy asked her out, and she agreed. She's a charming guy. And she agreed to let him pick her up from work. She worked at a convenience store. And she agreed that this handsome young guy would pick her up from work at closing. She'd close up the store, and they would go out on a date. And as it came time to close the store, she had an uneasiness. She was a believer. She had a strong uneasiness about this guy. Even though he was very good looking, he was very charming, he was very handsome, very nice. She just felt like the Lord was telling her, do not go out with that guy. And so as he got out of his VW, as he walked over toward the convenience store, she just got the keys out and she locked it. And he walked up to the door and took a hold of the door and he couldn't get in. And she said, I can't go out with you. And she found out later that the young man's name was Ted Bundy. Now, usually it's not that dramatic when God speaks to us. But it would be worthwhile, wouldn't it, to be sensitive to what God says. Now, this is not a license for you to be a fruitcake for God, right? It's not a license for you to go doing stupid things. I had a dear friend one time who struggled with just severe depression. And he said one day his family said he wanted to gather all his friends together to just pray over him. And so he went out to his house and all of his friends. And he had me as a friend, so he had other, you know, kind of Fruit Loop friends too. And so there were a whole bunch of crazy people out there, you know. They're Christians and they're all from all walks of life and some various different denominational stripes. And we're all praying for him. And we're all trying to, you know, it's probably like Job and his comforters. It wasn't very good. And it would have been better if we probably didn't counsel him and we just stuck to praying. But we would pray and then somebody would say, well, and you know what, I think you might try. And the poor guy, you know, he's just there and he's really. But one guy, he goes like this, like, okay, I think, all right, yeah, okay, God, all right. It's like he had like a radio phone to God. And so he goes, all right. And he says to him, name I withheld. He says to him, it's this pop. You see this pop? All sitting around this diet pop. He says, it's got chemicals in it that'll eat holes in your brain, man. And this is the problem right here. And then the guy says, real quietly, kind of under his voice, I don't ever drink it. But the guy has heard from God, so he isn't listening. I'm telling you, you got to cut a pop out because it'll eat holes in your brain. And the guy's like, I don't drink it. And I'm like, he doesn't drink it. And I goes, what? He goes, he doesn't drink it. Does it hurt you if he just looks at it? No, you got to drink it for it to eat holes in your brain. And then I go, and it's not diet. This is the sugar variety. It's all sugar. I mean, I know that's bad too, but. So, I mean, like I said, you know, when you say, I heard from the Lord, and then you start doing weird stuff, you don't do that. You don't have a fruitcake license just because you're a Christian. I'm talking about a person that is immersed in the Word of God and who's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and who's living a dynamic life, an exciting life, where he's just aware and sensitive to people that are around him and things that are going on. And what might God, what might Jesus do in a situation like this? That's what I'm talking about. And that would be pretty exciting. Now, there's something else here. This is point number two, and I know point number one was like the really long point of the message, and point two, and point three is the conclusion, and we're almost done, and we're going to be rolling here quick. But when you hear the voice of God, your heart will sing for joy. It's evidence of affections for God. When you know that God, you know what I'm talking about? When you're reading the Word of God, and when you hear from God, you go, that's the Lord, then your heart sings. It's a part of the fun of being a Christian. Like if you go out, and I haven't done this, but I've talked to enough people who have, and they go out and, you know, smoke pot or drink or do all kind of stuff. And then when they get all done, they're like, that was called a party, and it was fun and all that. And then they feel guilty and bad, and they can't find their car, and, you know, just bad stuff happens. But you know what? When you go to church and you read your Bible and you sing hymns and you get up in the morning, it's like, that was a great day yesterday. Am I right? You're like, man, that was a great day. I'm ready to go. You are clear-eyed and your conscience is clear and you've informed your heart with the things of God. There's just something about that that makes your heart sing. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 29. Let's go back there. Isaiah 30 and verse 29. He says, even though you were stubborn and rebellious and I spoke and you didn't want to listen, I'm going to still be faithful and talk to you. And when you hear from me, it'll be like your heart burst into song. So you guys want to do this. Like even if you're a kid, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come to the mountain of the Lord. I got a picture of worship like this. They're taking a flute to the mountain of the Lord and they're happy and they're joyful. And this is a wonderful thing. And you have that unfettered happiness in your soul. So verse 30.
to the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Isn't that pretty? He will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Now for the Assyrians, on the other hand, he's talking about his people and the Assyrians. And he says, my voice to the Assyrians, that's going to be bad for them. So to the believer, the voice of God, that's a good thing. To the unbeliever, the voice of God, you don't want to go there. And so it is. Verse 31, for through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down. But to the believer, the voice of the Lord is like, that's my master. That's my shepherd. I would recognize his voice anywhere. I'm listening for his voice. I will not follow the voice of a stranger. I will not have the voice of the stranger on my iPod. I will not have the voice of the stranger on my cable television. I will not have the voice of the stranger on my bookshelf. I will not follow the voice of a stranger because I'm too busy following the voice of my shepherd. I'm listening to him every day, and he's sending me good places. He's telling me good things. He's warning me, and he's getting me involved in all kinds of neat stuff. I will not listen to the voice of a stranger, but I will listen to the voice of a shepherd. Are you eager to hear? That's the third point. Number one, God is eager to communicate. Number two, when you hear the voice of God, your heart will sing with joy. And number three, are you eager to hear? He's eager to communicate. Are you willing to listen? Are you hungry for the voice of God? I love the story. Maybe someday I'll get permission for you to hear the whole version of this. But a version of this testimony I hear every once in a while. A guy, a young man, not walking with the Lord, not living for the Lord, doesn't know the Lord. And he goes back and forth past this church doing stuff he shouldn't do. And when he sees the church, there's a tug on his heart. God saves him and makes of him a beautiful man who loves the Lord and a beautiful family who's following the Lord. And he's in the house tonight. Because God just kind of tugged on his heart when he drove by this building. God just loved that. And that's why I think, you know, God, would you tug on the hearts of people when they go by here? And I know, God, I'll go out too. I want to go out where people are, not just wait for them all to come in. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And Hebrews 5:11 on the negative side, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. God said, I would tell you more, but you just aren't listening. And Matthew 13 and verse 15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Now what could your life be like if you start being a person who listens all the time to the voice of the Lord, who's eager to hear what God has to say, who's ready to go where he sends you to, stop what he tells you to stop doing, say what he wants you to say, shut up when you're supposed to shut up. That would be mine that I hear most often, I suppose. Don't say that one, Ken. No, no. And you did that. And you see what I mean? Think about it. God knows everything. He's all powerful. He knows the future. He's sovereignly orchestrating everything. You get to be one of his agents. He gets to send you cool places doing neat things. Billy, this is better than video games. Better than video games. Amen? No put down. Yeah. It's exciting. So, you could do a video game on that. Yeah. Do you long to hear the voice of the Lord? You hear the heart of God. Know the heart of God. Obey his directions. Hey, sometimes God speaks. You hear this all the time in catastrophic, amazing ways. And sometimes just in mundane ways. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll give you an example of one before I quit tonight. Several summers ago, Troy arrived home on a typical Friday afternoon. He'd endured a rigorous week at work as a day trader, and he jumped on his motorcycle to head to the health club to relieve a little stress. True story. As he describes it, minutes after that seemingly innocuous decision, Troy found himself lying in the intersection of two neighborhood roads. His skull was fractured and his brain exposed. He'd been hit by a 16-year-old girl who pulled out from an adjacent gas station and into oncoming traffic before looking both ways. Witnesses relayed that the girl had been fighting with friends in her car over a cell phone. Blood tests later came back positive for various illegal drugs in the girl. After someone called 911, a fatality crew was deployed to the scene. They were literally going to come and gather his remains up off of the pavement. Troy doesn't remember seeing anyone from that crew. The only thing he remembers
is this. He remembers a woman who came to the scene. She knelt over him. She took a shirt from his gym bag. She held his head together in a makeshift tourniquet until official help arrived. And the only thing she said was, "Can you lift up your head? Can you lift up your head?" I told her I thought I could, and then I blacked out. The woman never appeared in the police record. She was unaccounted for. But Troy knows that she was present that day. God's whisper of tender care sent in the form of a mystery woman with a crumpled shirt holding his wounded head. He said, "By God's grace, I recovered from that incredible ordeal, and by his word, my heart was healed. And when I think back on the situation, I recite Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." And he knows that God visited him. And so it may be in catastrophic things, or it may be in just mundane things. But this week, see what happens if you're all ears.